The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of this program here on AFR. Tim with Fred. Good morning, Fred Jackson.
Good Monday morning.
And Chris Woodward.
Good morning.
And we thank you for listening to AFR. Everybody have a good weekend.
Had a good weekend. Had family in town visiting and had a wonderful time. Wonderful time.
Yeah. Chris?
I did. It was a little nasty there Saturday afternoon for parts of our TV viewing area. But I... praise God, didn't have any damage to report or whatnot. It was just really nasty for a good hour and a half.
Trees down, branches down, that sort of thing. Yeah. We were at a local restaurant when the storm, and it only took about 15 minutes for this front to get through.
But Hurricaneado.
It was wild. And we had a baseball tournament in town this weekend, and they had just come into the restaurant to eat, and all the menus, the lit menu across the top went down.
Yeah.
They couldn't order any food.
Wow.
They lost power.
A couple of campers overturned at a dealership not far from here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was brief, but it was really
intense,
nasty.
Intense. All right. Well, hope everybody had a nice weekend.
You were baseballing.
Yeah. Well, my 11-year-old grandson.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody needs to tell me how many grandsons I have. I'm not sure exactly, but the 11-year-old one.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm just kidding. But we are getting on up there. But they won the state. They won their state championship in baseball.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, Knights.
Yeah.
So yeah, we were very excited about that. Watched them play.
And you said there were what, 16 teams?
In Starville, 19 teams.
19 teams.
19 teams in their classification.
Mm-hmm.
And they won. They were 6-0. In the state tournament, so they won it all.
That's a lot of baseball.
Yeah. Well, you can tell. Look at my arms.
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of baseball. Mm-hmm. But it's fun, youth baseball. Youth sports is fun if it's,
Kept that way.
Yeah. Yes. Kept fun, that's right. Yes. All right, Chris, they aren't having a lot of fun in Los Angeles, no. Are they?
Speaking of intense moments, National Guard troops continue efforts to help bring in an end to the anti-ICE riots in L.A. that have seen the blocking of a major freeway and setting self-driving cars on fire as law enforcement used tear gas, rubber bullets, and flashbangs to control the crowd. President Trump over the weekend said that he was going to be sending in National Guard and law enforcement because of the shenanigans people were doing to law enforcement officers. Trump said, look, if you do so much as spit on law enforcement, we're going to send people in here. Don't take my word for it. Clip 3.
They spit, we hit. And I told them, nobody's going to spit on our police officers. Nobody's going to spit on our military. Well, we're going to have troops everywhere. We're not going to let this happen to our country. We're not going to let our country be torn apart like it was under Biden and his auto pen.
Yeah, it was bad. A lot of our listeners probably have seen some of the images coming out of Los Angeles. This started out as a protest against ICE immigration officials. They've been doing various things across the country to arrest, detain people who are in the country illegally. And they were running an operation in Los Angeles, ICE was. It started out, I believe, on Friday, and you had these protesters show up. Now, the police chief out there in Los Angeles, Jim McDonnell, I believe his name
McDonald.
Mm-hmm. He said he recognized some of these protesters from other protests. In other words, there was some of the protest renter crowd that was involved with this. But things got very violent very quickly. And police came under attack out there. They fired back, not bullets, but some rubber bullets, et cetera, et cetera. But here's what has developed, and Chris probably have more on this, is that Governor Newsom is upset with President Trump for bringing in the National Guard. And the mainstream media is now starting to spin this, that the National Guard is the problem, that Trump should not have sent in the National Guard. They're saying it intensified things. In fact, Newsom is going to court today to try to get the National Guard out of there and accuse Trump of doing something illegally.
We do have some audio from Governor Gavin Newsom. Now, this was yesterday or late Saturday, saying he was going to be filing a lawsuit against the Trump administration over this information Fred just mentioned. Clip four.
Donald Trump has created the conditions you see on your TV tonight. He's exacerbated the conditions. He's, you know, lit the proverbial match. He's putting fuel on this fire ever since he announced he was taking over the National Guard. An illegal act, an immoral act, an unconstitutional act. And we're going to test that theory with a lawsuit tomorrow.
I got to say, some of the reporting on this, I guess this is not going to shock you guys, but some of the mainstream reporting initially on this was mostly peaceful protests.
Yeah.
Okay. It kind of reminds me of the anti-police protests in Minneapolis. Remember, it was CNN, burning building behind the reporter, mostly peaceful protests. Mm-hmm. And as you just heard there, Newsom is saying this is Donald Trump's fault. Wouldn't have been a bad protest, which is just nonsense.
Yeah.
All right. So this started Saturday.
I think it was late Friday night.
Late Friday night. So just so people understand what's going on here. ICE, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement?
Correct.
Is that what? Okay. That's what ICE stands for. So they were doing or are doing raids across the country.
Yes.
And are going to houses or going to wherever they need to go to make arrests.
Yes.
True?
Correct.
Okay. So they're making these arrests. And now of people here who are in the country illegally, and only they know why exactly the ICE, but it has been related to gang activity or members of drug cartels or
trafficking
or just bad criminals.
Yes.
In addition to being here illegally.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there's been the reaction is against ICE doing this because the left in this country views them as thugs, I guess you could say, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're thugs to the left because they are sent by Trump, President Trump.
Correct.
So they're his thugs.
Yes.
And they're trying to arrest people and deport them, and these protesters don't want ICE in their community. Now, they don't represent the whole community, but they do represent a significant, looks like to me, portion of them. These folks are blocking a major highway in Los Angeles right now. I'm watching this on TV, and it looks to me like maybe 300 or 400 people there. I don't know. But that's all it takes to get out in the middle of a highway and block a highway. So that's this is going to be, I don't know how this is going to be resolved, but what President Trump has done, he called out the National Guard, which he, despite what Governor Newsom said right there, President of the United States does have the authority to call out the National Guard in various states, right?
Yes.
Absolutely. And Jonathan Turley, who is a legal expert you see on Fox a lot, says exactly that, Tim. Cut number five.
Certainly there have been plenty of these cases where they have forum shopped, found very favorable judges. But in the end, the president has the authority to call out the National Guard, and it will happen. In fact, what Newsom is doing is going to escalate it further. You know, the president is operating under Title 10, which allows him to call out the National Guard to enforce federal law. That's what they did during the desegregation period when local mm-hmm. authorities refused to comply with federal law. Does that sound familiar?
That's right.
And with the administration is saying, we're going to do the same thing. It can escalate with a thing called the Insurrection Act, where the president can actually use National Guard where there's an insurrection. I don't think we are really looking. Hmm.
Yeah, so it's a very tense situation there.
Yes.
In Los Angeles, I mean, you this could escalate. We'll see what happens today, but it's a very volatile situation in Los Angeles over the, they're calling them LA riots.
Yes. We're now seeing a pattern in Democrat politically controlled areas. Remember last week, the mayor of Boston saying, shame, shame on these immigration officials for wearing masks. Now they're wearing masks right. for a reason.
Right.
Because they don't want the bad guys to identify these
right.
people,
right.
dox them, find out where their families live.
Right.
They're doing that to protect themselves.
Right.
But not only him, Hakeem Jeffries, who is the minority leader in the House.
Yes. The interesting thing about the shame on you for wearing masks is that both Massachusetts and New York have been home to anti-Semitic protests on places like college campuses
yes.
where rioters wore masks to protect their identities. And these Democrats didn't say diddly squat about that.
Yeah.
Why are some of these demonstrators waving Mexican flags?
Well, because a lot of the people in the country illegally are Mexicans.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't understand waving the Mexican flag when you're in America protesting.
Yeah, but I think it's a different mentality that these, you know, pro-illegal immigration centers. Remember, California, it's a sanctuary state. Mm-hmm. They don't have a problem with bringing in illegal immigrants and giving them jobs and paying for their health care, paying for their education. But what's really interesting, Newsom, in the last month or so, is saying, you know, we're running out of money for Medicaid. They're doing
right.
all of these sorts of things. So California has been this hot spot where these illegal immigrants, the government, the state government has opened its arms, spending millions of dollars to support these illegals.
Yeah.
And now that ICE wants to come in and bring some order to all of this, now they're protesting against
There's
Trump.
A part of me that just says leave California alone.
Yeah.
Because let them deal with all these people here illegally.
Well, the problem with that is you have people in the rest of the country, taxpayers, that are going to have to foot the bill for repairing all the buildings and whatnot destroyed. I mean, nobody in Connecticut should be responsible.
No, but I'm talking about, anyway, again, I'm just thinking out loud here, but I'm just like going, hey, if California wants to let everybody in the world come live in their streets, go for it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Why risk our ICE agents' lives or National Guard to take care of a problem that Californians don't care about? But you are talking about federal law. This is federal law.
Mm-hmm.
And also, some would say, well, if you allow cartel activity to take place in Los Angeles, that affects the rest of the country. That I'm just saying I can see the argument there. But, you know, one time I said, well, listen, if they want to let people in illegally in these sanctuary cities, sanctuary states, let them have at it.
Yeah.
But I understand the reasons why you can't take
If you could build a wall around the sanctuary cities,
keep them there. Right. But you know what is interesting to me? A couple of weeks ago, I don't know if you guys saw this statistic, and I don't have it right here in front of me, but that President Donald Trump was polling better now with Hispanics
yes.
than he had been, I don't know, 6 months, a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's happened, so you wonder, you know, the narrative that the political left in this country wants you to believe is that because President Trump is cracking down on illegal immigration and the vast majority of illegal immigrants are Hispanic. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Therefore, he is a he hates Hispanic people.
Yeah,
that's the narrative.
Yes,
that they want to project. But as it turns out, at least for now, the Hispanic community in America is not buying it.
Yeah.
At least not like the left wants them to. You know what I'm saying?
Listen, we have millions and millions and millions of hardworking Hispanic people in this country who have entered the country legally, who for years family businesses have built up. They hire people. They produce products for this country, which is absolutely fantastic. And these people are as upset as everybody else with these folks who have broken the law to enter this country and now are taking advantage of the opportunities that this country affords immigrants, but they're in the country illegally.
Yeah.
And so these Hispanics, they, like most other Americans, are saying, this is not fair. It's not fair.
Right. And it's unsafe, quite frankly,
yes,
to just let people pour into your country. You wouldn't let people into your house that you didn't know who they were.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then they break down the front door and you're supposed to say, okay, y'all come on in and we're not going to do anything about it, you know?
And they break into your house,
yeah,
and they demand you feed them.
Yeah.
Take care of them.
Right.
And by the way, if you try to remove me, I'm going to go to court.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right. All right. So anyway, it's a very tense, volatile situation today in Los Angeles, and we'll see what develops here. Hopefully it'll disperse with the use of the National Guard there. I've seen the National Guardsmen, and they have weapons in their hands.
Oh yeah, uh-huh. I mean they were shooting like rubber bullets at people, and people were posting on social media over the weekend. You know, I was shot by the government, and they were showing these big whelps they had on their arms and legs.
Let me ask a question about the National Guard that I know 90% of our listeners are going to know the answer to, and I'm going to seem like a dummy, which wouldn't be the first time, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Maybe you guys know the answer to this. Is there a tactical force within the National Guard that is prepared for something like this? Or is it just general National Guardsmen, you know, who have regular jobs, who get a phone call, hey, you got to go to Los Angeles, and they live in Northern California, or what? I don't know what the case may be. That's probably not true. Probably got enough guardsmen in Southern California, I'm sure, to handle something like this. Doesn't look like there's but maybe a few hundred. I don't know how many years out there exactly, but in terms of the training.
Yes, they practice crowd control.
All of them?
Mostly. From my experience in Canadian military,
yeah,
one of the things we did in Officer Candidate School is crowd control.
Okay.
So it's something to be ready for.
That all military people go through.
They rehearse this.
Okay.
And they know what to do. Okay. So they're not going in there like the first time, what do I do? They know crowd control, how to discipline themselves. They are there usually just to push back against the bad guys. But if the bad guys respond in the wrong way, they have the right to defend
push
themselves.
Back and be a visible show of law enforcement.
Yes.
To intimidate the situation.
To keep the peace.
Keep the peace, the law and order.
Yes. Yeah.
You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Chris.
Well, I want to bring people's attention to something that happened on Friday afternoon and then got covered up by all the...
By the way, nobody's been died in this situation yet, have they?
Not that I am aware of yet.
Okay.
But certainly we will update that. We'll be on that on AFM. But something else that happened late Friday and got covered up by the situation in Los Angeles. On Friday afternoon, Attorney General Pam Bondi breaks in as a press conference with reporters in Washington, D.C., and she announces new charges for Kilmar Abrego Garcia. He is the so-called Maryland man that was deported to El Salvador months ago, and Democrats are saying his due process rights are being violated, even though he's an illegal immigrant and has been living here illegally without our permission. Anyway, Attorney General Pam Bondi announces new charges for him for transporting illegal immigrants across the country. And she said he was a high up in this scheme. I've got some audio here from the Attorney General, clip 10.
The grand jury found that over the past 9 years, Abrego Garcia has played a significant role in an alien smuggling ring. They found this was his full-time job. not a contractor. He was a smuggler of humans and children and women. Abrego Garcia is a danger to our community.
Now, perhaps they were busy, Tim, but Democrats were largely silent on Friday afternoon, Saturday, and Sunday when it comes to these new charges against the man they were kind of trying to hold up as.
Maybe some, he'll want to stay in El Salvador.
Yeah.
I'm kidding, but so they're bringing him back, and then he's going to face federal charges.
Yes, and they will then probably either hold him or send him back to El Salvador.
Yeah.
This is an interesting case. You had these Democrats going down to El Salvador, and the news media from America right behind these Democrats, and Democrats describing this guy as just he's a husband, he's a dad, he's a nice guy, and he has not been afforded the legal process that he should have received, all of this sort of thing. Now he's coming back. Now there's going to be a trial. And now that's going to come out, just as Pam Bondi was just saying there, this guy has been involved, in fact, leading illegal operations to traffic men, women, and children in this country. What are the Democrats going to say to that? All of a sudden, the image of Mr. Garcia is going to change publicly very quickly.
You know, all these problems were caused by Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Namely, him, when he did away with all President Trump's policies that he had in place prior to Biden taking over in the White House. Biden then just vindictively or stupidly just said, okay, get rid of everything Trump did to prohibit people from coming here illegally. Mm-hmm. In other words, let's throw the doors open, let everybody come so that I can spite MAGA and Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Without any thought much to the consequences, I don't think they would have cared much anyway, the consequences of letting some say 15 million people come here and just go all over the country, and we don't know who they are. We don't know. They're just, and now many of them, evidently, we're finding out are bad guys.
Yes, bad guys. But Tim, you had pointed out numerous times in the past, this was no accident. That this was an operation by the Democratic Party.
Yes.
To get,
and they would do it again if they could.
More people in here, so they'll eventually vote Democrat.
Yeah, that's the goal.
Yes.
You say, well, why would you let the floodgates open on your own country? Talk about the Democrats. Don't they care about our national security either? No. Well, they might say they do, but they care more about letting people here illegally, hoping that they can make them become citizens. Then they will be obligated to vote Democrat. And that will be the death and end of the Republican Party as we know it. That would be the political objective to Biden and the Democrats doing away basically with our border during their 4 years in their administration. But the backlash was this was an issue that hurt the Democrats, namely Kamala Harris, when she was going up against Donald Trump because he won that debate.
Yes.
And Americans said, yeah, we got to stop this. This is nuts. So we need to vote in the guy who says we need to stop this. This is nuts. And that would have been Donald Trump. So to the extent that Trump is doing what he said he would do in terms of cracking down on illegal immigration, this is one of the main issues that the American people, at least the majority of the American people, did vote for.
Yes.
So, all right. Well, hopefully things will subside there in Southern California. There won't be any deaths. And what are they doing with these cars?
They're just these are driverless cars.
Okay.
That you've seen, and the bad guys have been ordering these cars to come to specific locations, and then the bad guys set them on fire. Mm-hmm. Very, very dangerous.
Just to be disruptive.
Just to be, because these cars are driven by lithium batteries. And when lithium batteries, which is why airlines get you to remove batteries, lithium batteries get on fire, they release toxic chemicals.
So they're driverless cars. Yeah.
Yeah.
That like an Uber or a taxi cab, and they the bad guys call them to the place, and then they set them on fire?
That is correct.
Yep. Wow. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
This June 24th marks 3 years since Roe v. Wade was overturned. But here's what you may not know. Abortion numbers have surged to a 10-year high. The battleground has shifted from the courtroom to our homes. Today, over 60% of abortions happen through the abortion pill, taken in silence, often alone. Preborn Network clinics are standing in the gap, meeting women in their most desperate hour. And here's what they're seeing. Young mothers, terrified and misled, are delivering their babies, tiny, perfectly formed, onto bathroom floors. These precious babies, once called just tissue, now lie lifeless. 11% of these women who take the abortion pill will suffer serious health complications. Countless others carry emotional scars for a lifetime. When you give to Preborn, you're not just saving a baby, you're saving a mother, too. You're giving her hope, financial support, and the truth. Preborn has already rescued over 350,000 babies, but there are so many more who need our help. Your tax-deductible gift makes this mission possible. To donate now, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Tim, Fred, Chris, and now John Riley joins us. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
So, I wanted to ask you, you have a son that play, a grandson that plays baseball.
I do.
Right?
Yes, he plays travel ball. That is Cooper Troxler.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. So, John knows the, he knows the circuit.
That's right. Huh?
I mentioned early in the program, not that I was bragging, that my 11-year-old grandson's team won the state championship in their classification.
Mm-hmm.
For youth baseball in Mississippi, and they're the 316 baseball.
That is so cool.
And on the uniforms,
on the
back of the uniforms, it says "For God so loved the world."
There you go.
I had John 316. Nice. So
great anyway. Testimony.
All right, so we it helps us beat the pagans. a lot of pagan teams out there, and we show up with 316 baseball, and
they just leave.
God gives us favor.
That's right.
All I can say. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, folks. Don't email me about theology, because my theology is I don't think God cares who wins a baseball game.
Yeah. And then you have Wake Forest Demon Deacons, whatever that means.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always say I don't think God cares who wins a ball game. He does care about the people on the field and in the stands.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues. Well, on a very serious note, we're here to talk to John about something that happened. Why don't you tell us about it, John?
I was supposed to be in the Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas today all the way through Wednesday for the Israel Summit, which is actually organized by the Israel Guys. It's the media arm of HaYuvel. And this organization, they're based in Israel. And what they do is they simply bring in people to Israel to, pick the vineyards and plant trees and to help Christians connect with the Jewish people. And they're right located in the heart of Samaria, which is a very important part of Israel. And so I was supposed to be at the summit where it was a gathering of people from Israel and from the United States that would come and just share their love for Israel. There was going to be survivors of the October 7 massacre that were there as well. And then you had former Ambassador Matt David Friedman that was going to be there. You also had former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann. So the bottom line is, last week they began to get threats high-level threats from the FBI, local law enforcement, of direct threats from anti-Israel.
You mean the FBI warning about threats?
Right. The FBI was warning them of these threats that could happen if they held
this. They were warning the organizers of the event?
They were organized. That's right.
That's kind of scary. What the organizers do?
Well, first, they actually had one venue, and then all the threats started coming in from these anti-Israel extremist jihadists here in our country. And so because of that, they said, hey, you need to, you know, move the venue or end the venue. And they said, no, we're going to go ahead and move the venue. So they moved the venue outside of the Dallas-Fort Worth area, about 20 miles actually out of Fort Worth. And then it happened again. Those same anti-Israel extremists found out where they're going to be. And once again, all of the pressure came, you know, from them, of threats, direct threats from, you know, that the FBI was conveying to them and local law enforcement. And they said, we got to pull out. And so it's not happening.
That's, you know, if people were not aware of the level of anti-Semitism in this country, they better be now. Because you look at the university campuses, within hours after the October 7th, 2023 massacre in Israel, we had pro-Hamas demonstrators on university campuses. Just in the last 2 weeks, you had that young Israeli couple assassinated outside a museum in Washington, D.C. And then you had the incident in Boulder, Colorado last week, where there was a peaceful demonstration drawing attention to the people still being held by Hamas terrorists. And they were attacked by a guy, a pro-Islamic terrorist guy who was in this country illegally from Egypt and setting people on fire. Just innocent people who were there with a peaceful demonstration. And now, John, you have this conference that you were going to attend. The FBI warning people.
That's right.
That if you go ahead with this, people could be hurt and perhaps killed.
And this was just a conference, like you said, this was really not political.
No, everybody, of course, these are people who just love the land of Israel. Some of them Jewish people. They're peace-loving people.
Right. Yeah. But there wasn't anything really controversial about that.
Absolutely not.
But the FBI warned, hey, we've had a threat against the conference. It was the conference organizers who decided to cancel it.
That's right. That is correct.
Uh-huh. What was the name of the conference?
The Israel Summit.
Right. Is it annual?
It is. Actually, this was the second one that they had scheduled. Last year, they had some of the same things happening with some threats, but Dave Ramsey stepped in and gave them a venue because the first venue they had canceled, and then Dave Ramsey stepped in and, you know, had the security for them and everything.
Yeah.
That actually happened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, you planning to go back to Israel anytime soon?
I am. Actually, that's a good question because June 22nd, we're going to actually bring some of the AFR, AFA staff members there as part of the Israeli government's bringing us in. And so we'll be sending back some reports coming up after June 22nd.
That's cool.
Yep.
Yeah. Chris Woodward going.
Chris, I'm going to go.
All right. Yeah. First time in God's country.
That's right. I'm excited to be there in the land with you.
Well, that's literal, Chris.
It is. Yes, I'm in it. Yeah, the Lord knows what's on my
heart. A lot of people say this is God's country, depending on where they live.
Oh, no. I'm not.
Yeah, I know. I'm kidding. But I'm saying that this really is God's country.
Yeah, it's funny Israel. Because here in Mississippi, we have a lot of places. Now, we pronounce it Bethel, okay? But there's Bethel Baptist churches, there's Bethel Roads, there's all kinds of Bethels. I actually have the opportunity to see the actual Bethel and some other things. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely looking forward. You know, this whole thing with the canceling of this is just really troubling. You have to wonder, you know, is it safe in America to publicly stand with Israel? It's just a question. Mm-hmm. I mean, we stand with Israel and the Jewish people, but you have to ask that question.
Yeah, you know? That's actually in a soundbite here from one of the people that John has been in talks with about the Israel Guys event being canceled. Here now is a soundbite from a guy named Luke Hilton of the Israel Guys talking to CBN about how unsafe it is these days in America, of all places. Clip 15.
What it feels like is that Jews and Christians can no longer gather publicly in support of Israel and America. Crazy as that sounds, that's exactly what it feels like right now. You know, it's hard to believe that we're at this point. Our security director, who was working with us for the event, his father fought in World War II, you know, and he said, honestly, it feels like Germany in 1939. We try to have a simple pro-Israel event. We're talking about a peaceful gathering, 600 people in Dallas, Texas, of all places. And the goal is simply to educate people, to stand publicly, peacefully in support of Israel. Just the fact that we cannot have an event like that in America today, Texas of all places, like where, and honestly, this is a question I'm asking myself, what does that mean for the state of America today?
Yes.
Well, okay. So I don't know. I don't think my reaction would be, I share his, the gentleman. You know that fella?
I do know him personally. He's a great guy with High Yovel and the Israel guys.
Yeah, I share his concern there, but I would say under normal conditions, this is not a controversial subject or event, right? They've had them over the years, right?
Right.
So, but I would say right now it's heightened. The emotional reaction of people who want to do harm to Israel and to Jews is heightened because of the war in Gaza, what's going on in Gaza right now. So all the news stories that you see that say, well, the Israeli army killed 20 more Palestinians today, 3 children and 5 women, then that raises the emotional charge of people who maybe are a little unstable in the head anyway. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And like the fella out in Boulder, Colorado.
Yeah.
So I hope and pray that this will subside, and I think it will with time. But still, right now, if you're an event organizer like this and you get a call from the FBI, you know, that's a tough place to be in, because you're saying that I'm going to go forward with this event to defy those who would try to stop us. But at the same time, you have to say, well, if the FBI is warning me, I don't want to have a terrorist attack on my event and then me be responsible for the deaths of some people or whatever because I didn't heed the warning of the FBI. That makes sense.
And the threats are real. Just going back to what happened to that young couple in Washington, D.C. in the last couple of weeks. They were assassinated.
Yeah.
What happened in Boulder, Colorado, this guy that's been arrested in Boulder, Colorado, has confessed to what he did. He had Molotov cocktails, more than a dozen in his car. He lit some of them to light people on fire. So, you know, is there any wonder why this group canceled the event? Because the threats are real.
Yeah.
Coming out of the event in Boulder, Colorado, I heard one of the demonstrators that was there that was not injured. He said, we, the Jews, are being hunted in America right now. Now, that's a very scary thought. That takes you back to World War II. We are being hunted because we are Jews. Mm-hmm. Not because we are bad people. We are living in
those who would attack them would say, yeah, they are bad people because they're Jews and Jews control Israel and Israel's killing the Palestinian children. I'm just telling you what they would say.
Right.
Yeah. By the way, you mentioned the figures that the mainstream media use for the number of Palestinians being killed in Gaza. Do you know what the source of those figures is?
Hamas.
The Hamas-controlled health group.
Yeah, it's called Gaza Health Ministry and Associated Press Stories, but the terrorists control the health ministry.
By the way, Israel is saying that they did kill one of the top Hamas leaders.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Do we have this story?
Yes, I'm pulling it up right now.
Because it took place in the last 2 or 3 days, right?
Yes.
It did.
Right.
And if you have the story, let me know when
I
you
do.
Get to it. You have it now?
Yeah. Hamas chief The Shadow was killed in airstrike on Gaza hospital, IDF confirms, as it releases footage of secret tunnels. It's a Daily Mail story to which I will post on our Facebook page.
Okay. So, you know, here again, you have a Hamas leader operating terrorist activities against Israel from an underground tunnel system, bunker system, that is under a hospital, according to the Israeli Israeli government. Is that?
I think that's accurate.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but this would be another top Hamas leader that Israel has, as you mentioned, hunted down, mm-hmm. that have found out where he was and killed him.
Yes.
Because as long as there's a war going on between Hamas and Israel, Israel's trying to take out the leadership as much as they can of Hamas, true?
Yeah. Yeah. Another interesting development on the Gaza war. Last week it was reported, and the term that was used by Netanyahu's office is Palestinian clans. That was the term that he used. But what it is groups of Palestinians that are now joining up with Israel. Mm-hmm. They've had enough of Hamas leadership. We got to remember this. Not all Palestinians in Gaza support Hamas.
Right.
They are there under unfortunate circumstances. But there are now these groups, as I say, Netanyahu call them clans, who are helping Israel.
And reports are that Israel actually provided some weapons to them, or at least some rifles. So yes. That's some of the reports that are coming out on that.
Yeah.
Okay, John, well, thanks for stepping in, being welcome. With us.
And I just as I leave here, I want to encourage everybody who's listening here today to stand up and speak out. You know, when you hear Jew hatred going on around you, you hear people saying, oh, those extremist Israeli Jewish people there in the land of Israel, in Judea and Samaria, please speak out against that. Stand up, be strong, and stand for Israel. I just want to encourage everybody to do that.
Can I add to that? Be very suspicious of the mainstream media how it reports on what Israel is doing or not doing.
That's right.
The mainstream media, for the most part, is all in with the Palestinian side of this.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right? And sadly, even the Associated Press using Hamas-controlled figures.
And a great place to get your news and information is American Family News. By the way, they have a new, brand new Israel Middle East category, so you can go there. You guys do an awesome job. So AFN.net, you need to check that out.
We support Israel unapologetically.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, John. John Riley.
Thank you.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. Next story, Chris.
Well, that was a bitter X feud. I wanted to say Twitter feud because that's what it used to be called. Now it's called X. And there's been a back and forth between athletes turned activist, Simone Biles, famous gymnast, and Riley Gaines, famous swimmer from the University of Kentucky that had to compete against men, including Will Leah Thomas. Will wants to go by Leah, but we still call him Will, because that's how he was born, and that's what his mama called him. So Simone Biles over the weekend, for some bizarre reason, just started to tweet or post some nasty things to Riley Gaines, saying that, you know, she needs to be more inclusive. It's disgusting how you're acting. And Riley Gaines has just been using her platform to criticize states like Minnesota, which over the weekend allowed a girls softball team with a male to compete against female teams. That team with a male ended up winning it all. Riley Gaines was on television saying, this is terrible. We need to stop this. It's not just in Minnesota. It's nationwide in various states. Simone Biles gets on X and says nasty things about Riley Gaines, including, why don't you go pick on someone your own size, a man, which was just kind of weird. I mean, Riley Gaines is 5'9". Which is, I guess, above average height for a female in the U.S., but it's not like she's 8 feet tall or, you know, ripped like she's the guy from Reacher or something. I mean, it's bizarre, and a lot of people have been weighing in on this. I saw a news segment this morning on Fox where Michelle Tafoya, who used to work for NBC, said she's taking sides with Riley Gaines here. Mm.
I just don't understand the position being taken, the pro-trans position by certainly the media, by certain politicians, et cetera, that, you know, it just, and we've talked about this before, what it's doing to girls' sports when these males, these biological males, are allowed to play against other girls. It's certainly not a political winner for the Democratic Party, but it is so intellectually and biologically untrue. Mm-hmm. A boy cannot say I'm a girl just by saying I'm a girl. I mean, it's totally outside the bounds of scientific reality.
I was kind of surprised by this. I didn't know what Simone Biles, all of her political views were. She's, you know, considered the greatest of all times by many in terms of her gymnastic credentials. Yeah. I mean, she's multiple gold medals over multiple Olympics, so that's unquestioned. However, for her to go on her social media platform and start supporting boys playing girls sports is as Riley Gaines and criticizing Riley Gaines, mm-hmm. who's the one who's the face of opposition to boys playing girls sports, was weird. Because if Simone Biles had to compete against males, she wouldn't win.
That's right.
That's a reason we have a separation in all athletics between males and females in competition, because have males competing against females is unfair, and everybody knows it.
Yes. Well, it's also illegal. I mean, it violates a woman's Title IX rights to have to compete against a male. That's something they've said since day one.
Yeah. Well, they're doing it, though.
Oh, yeah. They're thumbing their nose at the law.
Well, but here's the kind of the bizarro thing that people on the left who's like Simone Biles, I guess, she says that Riley Gaines is bullying trans people.
Yeah.
Because she's just saying, no, boys should not be allowed. Biological boys, there are no other kind, by the way, but I'm saying that for the sake of our discussion here. Biological males should not compete against biological females in athletics. That's all Riley Gaines is saying, how unfair that is. The people like Simone Biles, I would guess, would say this. The person you're talking about is, in fact, a girl. Why? And you might say, well, no, the chromosomes don't say that, and the genitalia don't say that, and the muscular development doesn't say that, and the lung capacity doesn't say that. Mm-hmm. So what are you basing that on, Simone, that this guy can call himself a girl and we're supposed to go with it? I'm guessing they would say, and I've heard some of them say this, they identify as a female. So they're basically, what you're saying is their feelings.
Yeah.
We should subscribe gender based on somebody's feelings.
Yeah.
Am I right? Mm. So that's, as I call that bizarro, to a average person or somebody who thinks, you go, no, that doesn't add up. Just because somebody says there's something, I can say I'm, I can say I'm a 7-foot Chinese person, but that doesn't make me one.
No.
But what these people on the left would say would be, that if they were going to be consistent, they would have to say, yes, if Tim says he's a 7-foot Chinese person, you need to go with that.
Yeah.
Because that's what he is identifying as. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Once you start down this road, and we have started down this
road
in this country, particularly in blue states, what's next? I'd like to fly a 747. I identify as a 747 pilot, UPS.
Right.
Let me fly your 747. Everybody would say, you're a nut.
Right.
You know, we're not going to do that.
Right.
That's foolish.
Right.
Well, this is foolish.
Yeah.
This is absolutely foolish.
Yeah. I would say, you know, if these people want to call themselves, if you have men who want to call themselves women or put on some makeup and a dress and like Bruce Jenner did and call himself Caitlyn, you know, that's one thing. You know, they're adults.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree with it, and I think it's sad, tragic,
mm-hmm.
but that's their choice. But when you have athletics, that is one of the basic premises of what athletics is built on is fairness and competition, then you can't be for some males competing against females. You just can't for in terms of fair. In fact, that's why Greily Gaines is talking back here on Twitter to Simone Biles, because Simone Biles' arguments are just strictly emotional. Mm-hmm. There's nothing scientific or logical about what she's saying. But I was surprised that she used her platform. So, what is that platform? What am I trying to say?
X.
Yeah, X, Twitter. But platform. I'm using a pun. Mm. You see what I did there?
Used her platform, too.
I said pun unintended with her platform.
Yes.
For a gymnast.
Gotcha,
right?
Gotcha.
You see what I said? See what I did there?
I give you a 10.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Anyway, I'm surprised that she chose this issue to make herself look foolish over. So.
I mean, she just kind of came out of nowhere. It was like, no one over the weekend thought, where is Simone Biles on this issue? And then she just goes after Riley Gaines.
It's also like Riley Gaines said, there was another sports star in the world of soccer. Help me out with her name. That's retired now. But she was a very famous soccer player. Rapinoe?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Megan.
Megan Rapinoe, who is a very famous women's soccer player. Mm-hmm. Well, when she got ready to retire, that's when she came out in favor of men playing girls soccer. And as Riley Gaines said, she came out in favor of males playing female soccer after she's retiring.
Yeah.
You know, so she changed her view and then pulled the ladder up.
That was convenient.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.